I'd like to commend all of you for being here today, giving up your Saturday to deepen your relationship with Christ and following St. Joseph to become better husbands and fathers. You're truly fulfilling your vocation by being here so you can learn more about your tremendous vocation and then apply these principles to your daily life. Our last reflection today is on the commitment that every St. Joseph covenant keeper makes, which is the second commitment. Following St. Joseph, the loving leader and head of the Holy Family. And I'd like to read with you just a few sentences on what this covenant means. St. Joseph, after the Blessed Virgin Mary, is the greatest of all the saints in heaven. God chose him to be the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the father of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fullest sense, except for physical generation. We seek his intercession to fulfill our calling of leading our families to be like the Holy Family. As husbands and fathers, we commit ourselves to being loving leaders and heads of our families, following the example of St. Joseph in serving the Holy Family and Christ's humble service to the Church, his mystical bride. We will neither irresponsibly abandon our leadership role within our families, nor abuse our leadership role through sinful domination and domestic tyranny. Along with affirming the headship of husbands and fathers in the family, we simultaneously affirm the perfect and complete equality between husbands and wives. Well, that is the sum of what this second commitment is all about, following St. Joseph. Well, why do we follow saints? How can we be devoted to a saint? There are three ways the Catechism teaches us to honor and be devoted to a saint. First, to admire the gifts that God has given to that saint, to admire the grace that God has given to a saint. Secondly, to imitate the saint's virtues. And thirdly, to invoke that saint's help. And so this is how we honor St. Joseph, by acknowledging the great things that God has done through Joseph, by trying to imitate Joseph's virtues to become better husbands and fathers, and then to invoke St. Joseph's help and intercession from heaven. I'd like to share with you just six reflections on St. Joseph. And I'd like to use the word Joseph as an acronym, having every letter stand for a different reflection or virtue of St. Joseph. The first letter in Joseph is J, and that stands for Joseph the Just Man. Pope John Paul II, in his apostolic exhortation, the Guardian of the Redeemer, calls Joseph the Just Man, as does Scripture. Scripture calls Joseph that Just Man. What does that mean? It means he was a holy man, a righteous man, a man of honor, a man of honesty, character, integrity, and virtue. St. Joseph truly, as our opening reflection said, is the greatest saint and the holiest saint next to the Blessed Mother herself. And in fact, some of the doctors of the Church have said that there was no grace ever given to any of the saints except Mary that was not given to St. Joseph as well. And St. Thomas Aquinas says that God gives a saint and every one of us grace proportionate to our office and to our state in life. So if you are a husband and father, you will be given the grace to be a holy husband and father. When someone is ordained a priest, they're given the grace for that office in the Church. So God gives grace proportionate to one's office, or calling, or vocation. So think how much grace St. Joseph received to be the foster father of the Son of God and the virginal spouse of the Immaculate Conception, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So St. Joseph is that just man, that righteous one. He is the greatest saint because he was the closest one to Jesus and to the Blessed Mother. We should ask ourselves, are we fulfilling our vocations as fathers and husbands? Am I fulfilling the call to holiness, which Vatican II says is the obligation of every member of the Church? It's not just the priests and nuns who are called to holiness in the Church. Every single individual has the vocation, the universal call to holiness. How am I living that vocation? Am I developing the virtues that St. Joseph has? Am I developing integrity, honesty, and the character in imitation of St. Joseph? The second reflection on St. Joseph is the letter O, which stands for Joseph the Obedient One. Joseph was truly obedient to the will of God in his life. We read in today's Gospel, the angel said, Joseph, have no fear about taking Mary as your wife. And as soon as Joseph knew that this was God's will for him, he obeyed. So Joseph obeyed the will of God in his own life. When he was told that Herod was trying to destroy the child, Joseph immediately got up and went into the flight into Egypt. Now, some people ask, well, how old was Joseph? You know, sometimes St. Joseph is made to be quite old. Have you ever noticed that? And some of that is due to the apocryphal writings of the early church, which were ancient writings, but they're not inspired by the Holy Spirit. They do give us some historical facts, but they're not always correct. That's why they're not inspired by the Holy Spirit or approved by the church as sacred scripture. But one of the ancient writings says that when Joseph married the Blessed Mother, he was 89 years old. And that when he died, he was 111 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but I think King Herod would have caught up with Joseph if he was 111 years old. And plus, it doesn't say in the Bible that Mary had to wheel Joseph through the desert in the wheelchair either. Actually, I believe Joseph was young and strong, obviously older than the Blessed Mother, perhaps maybe in his 20s or 30s. He was her guardian. He was her protector. But he was strong. He had to be to protect the Holy Family. In fact, in Scripture says that Mary was engaged to a man named Joseph. It doesn't use the word for old man, as it does for Simeon and for some of the, like Zachary. It uses the word a man named Joseph. So he wasn't as old as some people would like to claim him to be. Plus, in one of the ancient catacombs, Joseph in the catacomb of Priscilla is seen without a beard, again showing his youthfulness. This is an ancient catacomb, and seeing the painting of Joseph as the head of the Holy Family without a beard, again showing his youthfulness. But Joseph was that obedient one, and when he heard that Herod was after the child, he immediately got up and took his family into Egypt. Whenever he was warned in a dream to go back to his home country or to go back to Nazareth, he always obeyed the will of God. He did not even question divine providence. Even though Mary was great with child, expecting, he had to believe it was God's will for him to go to Bethlehem, to leave Nazareth, even though she was 8 3/4 months pregnant, and go down to Bethlehem. And again, this was to fulfill Micah the prophet, that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. But Joseph never questioned God's will in his life. He was completely abandoned to the will of God, completely obedient to God's will. Ask yourself the question, am I obedient to the will of God? Am I obedient to the Ten Commandments, to the teachings of Christ, to the teachings of the Church, to the teachings of the Magisterium on marriage and family life? Pray to St. Joseph to be obedient sons of the Church. The next letter in Joseph is S, and it stands for Joseph the Silent One. You know, there's no recorded words of St. Joseph in the entire Bible. Did you know that? There's words in the Old Testament of Joseph, the great patriarch, that we can apply to St. Joseph, and we can always follow the great admonition, go to Joseph whenever we're in need of anything. But in the New Testament, there's no recorded words of St. Joseph. He's always there, though, as a silent presence. His silent presence with the Blessed Mother and with Jesus. In fact, even his death is wrapped in silence. There's no recorded words of where Joseph is buried, how he died, or anything. He's a man of silence, and yet a strong man, a man of the deep interior life. And this is really what silence helps to develop in our lives. A life of prayer, an interior life, a life of silence. Saint Joseph was a man of prayer who listened to the Word of God. He was not distracted by all the many things, but he was a man of a deep interior life who always lived in the presence of God, because God lived in his very house. We picture Saint Joseph as the silent worker, as the carpenter, as the craftsman, and as a man who suffered in silence as well. He did not complain. He did not grow angry at God, saying, God, why are you doing this? Why do we have to flee to Egypt? Why do we have to go to the census? He was a man who accepted these things in silence. So we should ask ourselves, do I have enough silence in my life? Do I spend enough time in prayer with Jesus? Do I spend time listening to Jesus when he speaks to me through the Sunday readings? Or do I spend time in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel before the tabernacle, listening to Jesus truly present in the Blessed Sacrament? Do I realize that prayer is the soul of the apostolate? Do I try to mortify my speech? Or do I use language that Saint Joseph would not use, perhaps even God's name in vain, or foul language? Or do I use my speech to lead me and other people away from God through lying or gossiping or backbiting or detraction? Do we truly follow the example of Saint Joseph of being men of integrity and silence in how we use the great gift of our speech? The next letter in Joseph is E, and it stands for Joseph the Example. Imagine the kind of man Joseph was to have God the Father pick out of the whole human race this one man to be the one who would form his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. But even when you get a babysitter, you just don't pick anybody, right? Just for a couple hours or for a half a day. Imagine entrusting somebody, entrusting your only son to the care of another person. That's why adoption agencies have to be careful in who they entrust other people's children to. Well, God chose the very best. He chose Saint Joseph, that great example. He chose Mary. Now, Saint Joseph was an example to Jesus in his words and in his actions. He has been called the world's greatest father. And as we read in our commitment, Saint Joseph was truly the father of Jesus in every way except the biological way, except for physical generation. But he was the father who formed Jesus, who taught him how to speak, taught him how to read, taught him how to make falafels in Nazareth, and how to do carpentry work, and how to make doors and plows. What was the example that Saint Joseph gave the Christ child? And remember the saying, your example shouts so loudly, I cannot hear what you say. Isn't that the way children look at their parents? Your example is so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. What was the example that Saint Joseph gave to the Christ child? He was the perfect example, the world's greatest father. He was the educator of Jesus. He and the Blessed Mother homeschooled Jesus. And he taught Jesus the virtues, as far as the human virtues, the development. Obviously, Jesus was the Son of God. He always had the beatific vision. He always had the divine knowledge. But as the Catechism says, he had to grow an experiential knowledge. And he had to develop as a boy develops, as a son develops. And he looked at Saint Joseph, most likely even taking his mannerisms and actions, an example of Saint Joseph. So we should ask ourselves, what example are we giving? What example do you give to your wife, to your children? Do you teach the children the faith? Do you teach the children the scriptures? Do you study your own Catholic faith? Do you read at least 10 or 20 minutes every day in your Catholic faith? Do you listen to tapes in your car? Do you make good use of this gift of time to deepen your knowledge of the faith so you can be a good example to your wife and to your children? Do you go on retreats? Are you truly living out your vocation as the spiritual leader of your family. The fifth letter in Joseph is P, and it stands for Joseph the Patron, because Saint Joseph is our patron. A patron is someone who's our benefactor, who's our intercessor, who prays for us. Saint Joseph is a patron of so many things. He's a patron saint of fathers, the patron saint of husbands, the patron saint of workers, the patron saint of a happy death. Because we ourselves wish that we will have the same kind of death that Saint Joseph had, dying in the arms of Jesus and Mary. That's why he's a patron saint of a happy death, because we too wish to die in the loving arms of our Blessed Mother and Jesus, and to die in the embrace of Holy Mother Church. So pray to Saint Joseph for the grace of a happy death. He's also the patron saint of the universal church. And this is because, as the popes have said, everything that Saint Joseph did for the child Jesus, he now does for the church. You know why? Because the Catholic Church is the mystical body of Christ. That the church is the prolongation of Christ in time. The church is the body of Christ today. And just as the Blessed Mother is the mother of the church, as was declared at Vatican II, so Saint Joseph is the foster father and guardian of the Catholic Church. Everything he did for Jesus, he does for the church today, because the church is the body of Christ. Saint Joseph has also been, now lately, patron saint of selling houses. I'm sure you guys have heard about this. And I have to wonder about this. You know, people tell me, well, my Aunt Selma sold her house by burying a statue of St. Joseph, a foot and a half, buried him upside down facing east on a Wednesday afternoon. I have to wonder if that's really what God wants us to do. What I recommend is, if you want to sell your house, get a statue of St. Joseph, place it on the mantle or next to your image of the Sacred Heart where you have it enthroned in your home, and make a novena to St. Joseph. You don't have to suffocate the little guy. But keep him there and ask his intercession. He will help you sell your house or find you a job or help you in every way. Remember that Joseph is the protector, the provider, and the guardian of the whole church, and including ourselves as individuals. So ask yourself the question, do I pray to St. Joseph every day for the grace of a happy death, which means a prepared death? Pray to him for your whole family, that you will not have a sudden death. Pray that you will have a happy death. And do you ask St. Joseph to help you to protect your family from the onslaught of all the immorality that is present through the TV or the media that has already been talked about today? And lastly, the sixth reflection of St. Joseph is the letter H, and it stands for St. Joseph, the helpmate of the Blessed Mother, the husband of the Blessed Mother. He was that virginal spouse of Our Lady. So think of St. Joseph as the helpmate in God's plan of salvation. He was a loving husband, gentle, kind, considerate, affectionate, caring, and self-sacrificing. He, with the Blessed Mother, were entrusted the only begotten Son of God. And St. Joseph had an awesome responsibility to be the helpmate of the Blessed Virgin. You know, they worked as a team. Even though St. Joseph had spiritual leadership as the head of the family, as we mentioned, you know, the angel appeared to St. Joseph because he was the head of the family. God's message was revealed to him. Even though Mary was much holier as the Immaculate Conception, and obviously Jesus as the Son of God was his creator, far greater than St. Joseph, but spiritually, he was chosen as the head of that family, as every one of you are, as the spiritual head of the family. And yet, Our Lady and St. Joseph worked together to fulfill God's will in their life. Remember how they spell team, T-E-A-M, which stands for together, everyone achieves more. So when you're working together with your wife, when you go home today and share these thoughts and these ideas, work together as a team. I love the story that Zig Ziglar tells in his book, Courtship After Marriage. He uses the example of the Belgian horses. Individually, these huge Belgian horses can only pull 8,000 pounds of weight. But when they're harnessed together as a team with another horse, the two horses together, pulling together, can pull 32,000 pounds of weight. Isn't that amazing? It almost defies some law. I'm not sure which law it is, law of physics or gravity or mathematics. But it does happen when people work together as a team. So when you are harnessed, in a sense, with your spouse, in pulling your family towards God, you can accomplish so much more than you could individually. So ask yourself the question, how am I as a spouse, as a helpmate to my spouse? And your vocation, really, is to get your spouse to heaven and to get your children to heaven. That is your ultimate vocation in life. And so as we go on with this Mass today, let us reflect and try to apply these ideas into our daily life, following Saint Joseph, that loving leader and head of the Holy Family, that just man, that obedient man, his silence, his example, and his patronage of our own lives and of the Church, and try to imitate Saint Joseph, the helpmate of the Blessed Virgin Mary. God bless you.